You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us, Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall here. And we are ready to go through the two events this week, the British Masters and the President's Cup. But first, as usual, we'll take a few moments to reflect on what happened last week. And it was what might have been for this podcast, Mike. You went for Justin Thomas, a strong bet on him. And Xander Schauffele, the rookie, just pipped him to the post. And Lucas Bergard was almost a selection in the event in Portugal as well. So it was a week of what-ifs on this podcast.
Nearly, but nearly doesn't pay the rent.
That's correct. I thought Thomas was going to win on Sunday. Those final few holes when he made those couple of what looked like key birdies at the time. Didn't birdie the last, and that cost him.
As we mentioned earlier when we were having a chat in the office, Dave, I think his third round probably cost him, didn't it? Where he seemed to lose the plot a little bit, just didn't play anywhere near as well as he had the other 3 days. But I just had a feeling that he birdied the last, he would have won the tournament. He just come in with a really good run and... Made a little mistake on the back nine, didn't he, where he got a bogey when I didn't think he should have, really, and that was costly as well. But fair play to the winner. He, for a rookie, showed admirable resolve, sadly. And, yeah, just one of those things. But Thomas is a great player, deserved to win the FedEx Cup for my money, and has been great all year. And then in Europe, you were so close to picking... Oh, Lucas, weren't you? And...
I was close to picking him. It was a bit frustrating. I mentioned on the podcast last week, Dave, if I'd had that third pick, it would have been the Dane. But, onwards and upwards, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose only one can win every week. And at the end of the day, you didn't pick him. And, you know, you did pick two picks. It's not like you had no bets on it and he would have been the one.
Point.
So he was... Third in
it's
your
fair.
Rankings.
It's a little bit harsh, but it's fair.
Oh, it's definitely fair.
Sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind.
Yeah, I think that's good of you, Dave.
Sound advice.
I don't want to let you wallow and stew. Just move on.
Move on.
And you were saying off air, Dave, if you had your way, you'd change the FedEx Cup series because it was sort of anticlimactic, but...
It was confused. Justin Thomas was confused, wasn't he? He just didn't feel right that he'd won all that money without winning the event. They're so in the minute, so in their heads that they've got to win. So to finish second and be given his 10 million, it's like,
it's a problem
compute.
I wouldn't mind having, to be fair.
Yeah. But for them, it's kind of, it goes sort of against what they're about. Finishing second should be not right. So, yeah, what do you do? I've seen a couple of ideas where you maybe play the Tour Championship and then maybe the top six in the FedEx Cup at the end of that. Then go out into a shoot off the next day, and then who actually wins that shootout? It's clear the winner is the winner kind of thing, rather than or if he gets so many points and all that, it's just like a race to the line.
Yeah.
I think they're thinking about it as well. So
yep,
we'll see.
Let's talk about the British Masters then, chaps. And this event has been an undoubted success since its return to the schedule in 2015. And even though it's attracted even though it's a difficult event for punters to assess because it is a nomadic tournament, it's once again attracted a top-class field, headed by Rory McIlroy, who's the 7-1 favourite here with William Hill. Sergio Garcia is in the betting at 8-1. Alex Noren is 14-1. Bernd Wiesberger and Lee Westwood and Matthew Fitzpatrick all 20s. Ian Poulter, Shane Lowry and Tyrrell Hatton all 25s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. Woburn hosted this event in 2015 with Matt Fitzpatrick winning with a total of 15 under par. And last year, Alex Noren was the winner again, recorded a low total of 18 under par across the four rounds. And this year, Lee Westwood is the tournament's figurehead, so to speak, Dave. And the event goes to Close House Golf Resort in Northumberland, which measures under 7,000 yards and players to a par of 70. Would you expect the scoring to be comparable with the previous 2 years?
Yeah, I think so. I've read the Westwood's done a hole-by-hole guide on the Close House website. and it does seem to be. There's plenty of birdie chances there. It is a par 70, so that obviously will impact on the scoring to that to some extent. And the par fives do look shorter. I think, although one of them's, I think, a massively steep climb up a hill. So it's quite an undulating track, this one. But yeah, lots of birdie chances. And yeah, I think you do need to make a lot of red numbers.
There's a tendency as well in this event to gravitate towards those that have a decent record in the UK.
Yes, that's my thinking.
The problem here is there's a heck of a lot of the top candidates that have that form on the British Isles.
Yeah, I think kind of built into that, another thing this week, the weather forecast does look a bit grotty, doesn't it, in terms of rain. So I'm certainly looking at someone, a bit of a mudlark.
Yeah, it's likely not to be that windy, though, and that's could be the only defence for this golf course as well, Mike, the wind, really.
It's a bit of a mixed forecast, isn't it? I think there could be wind and rain, couldn't there?
Definitely rain, yeah.
And the weather forecast in the UK is not quite as easy to predict a few days in advance as it is in the US, but certainly a couple of the days look like they're going to be decent, so it should be interesting to see. It gets good raps from everyone, doesn't it? It's not a particularly long course, but just hard to know exactly what type of player it's going to suit, I guess, for obvious reasons.
I've got a couple of picks in the event, Mike.
I have got no picks in the event.
No picks.
I'll Dave meet Tindall. You halfway and have one.
Okay. I'm going to start with a guy that you... did you have him in the each way double?
I did him in the each way double last week. Yeah. Could have been very costly. He's rather poor play at the weekend.
Yeah, Shane Lowry is my my selection. I'm going to point each way at 25-1. I think it's a.
It was on my mind, Dave. See, he's there.
Yeah, he's there. But he's at the top of your list, actually,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
left the UK.
Yeah, precisely. And I think it's a fair price for a player that does thrive in this part of the world, and for a man that maybe could have just done with the run last week. I mean, it was still a nice effort to finish 29th in Portugal. Hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Just?
but he was coming back from a month off the track, and hopefully that will have put him spot on for this week. Ball striking was still pretty good last week, ranked fourth in greens in regulation, but had an off week with the putter. I suppose you can always, or often say that about Shane Lowry. That is definitely his Achilles heel. I think this shortest track will play to his strengths as well. Tied for second in this event at Woburn, and finished tied for sixth in the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth earlier in the season as well. I just think he's primed for a big performance. So Shane Lowry at 25-1.
Oh, I've just seen your second pick, and he was my best outsider. Won't reveal that yet. I was disappointed with him, particularly on Sunday. I thought he had every chance of getting each placed each week, which would have been nice for the double. With Justin Thomas, his putting is a bit of a worry. I think you've acknowledged that.
Yeah.
But he's a great ball striker, and he may well have needed the run last week. So, Shane Lowry was pretty high on my list, of course. So, yeah.
Hopefully, he'll go well. Dave Tindall.
Yeah, I'm going for someone. I was looking for somebody who plays well in England, doesn't mind a bit of grotty weather, and is in form. And I landed on Chris Wood.
Okay.
At 40-1, I thought that was a decent price.
Yep.
For someone who can win big, obviously his biggest win came in England when he won at Wentworth last year, and he was also fourth in that tournament before. You go through his form in England, obviously we first heard about him in the Open, didn't we, and when he had back-to-back top fives, one of those in England, 14th in this year's Open Championship at Birkdale. And you just go through his score and you tot it up, he's got seven top 25s in his last eight starts on English soil, so he's somewhere where you can guarantee that he's going to put in a good performance. As I say, the weather thing, obviously, we've seen him down the years handle poor weather. So you're just really then looking for a bit of form, and he showed that at the KLM Open when he finished ninth and finished with a 65, so left the Netherlands in high spirits, as so many people do. and I just thought it... everything, all the kind of planets are aligned for Chris Wood this week. And 40-1, I think that's more than fair for a player who can win big tournaments. We've seen him win in Qatar in a good field, win, as I say, at Wentworth. So, yeah, 40-1.
Very good. 40-1 for Chris Wood. This has scuppered me slightly, Mike, because he was 100-1 when I looked earlier. Chris Paisley.
Yeah. They cut him?
He's been cut to 80-1. So I'll go half a point each way still at 80-1, but... The local angle is usually well found in the market, and I thought at 100-1.
He hadn't been
really.
I know, that's what I thought.
And I thought it was a fair price. He's a tour professional at Close House, so we'll have an intimate knowledge of the venue, and he's in very good form as well. Yeah. Made a run at the Paul Laurie Match Play before finishing their tie for third in Denmark, then a tie for 12th last week in Portugal. Scrambling figures are very good this season, which will help him around this course because there are relatively small targets. And I thought it was worth a few quid at three figures. He has been cut into 80-1, so I'll play him a half a point each way at 80-1, Chris Paisley. But the local angle is usually well found in these events, yeah. Dave, and I thought 100s, it was fair.
Well, I was similar. Had he been 100s, I'm not sure if he ever was, but Graham Storm, similar angle from Hartlepool, which is obviously nearby, and he was part of the promotional, he's doing some promotion for the tournament last week, so again, I've not actually seen a quote from him saying I've played this 1,000 times, but I'm presuming he must have. have some decent knowledge of the course. And he was third in Portugal last week. He'd had a wrist injury before that, so he thought, oh, his form's just tailed off. He's back to sort of, you know, the sort of weaker Graham Storm that seems to creep in a lot. But obviously, earlier this year at South Africa, he beat Rory in a playoff, didn't he? So that third last week, although it's had an impact on his price, I think it's still, you know, the upside of it is he's suddenly refound something. So to carry that into his local event, and I saw a quote from him saying he won't mind the bad weather as well. I'm close at 80s. Maybe I should just, otherwise I'll
stick
whack
in, yeah,
myself
stick
on
in
the head.
Yeah. I thought that...
yeah, I will. Mike's pushed me over the line.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, Lowry and Tyrrell Hatton, who also plays well in the UK, I thought were up there. Norrin won the event at a different track last year, 14-1. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him go well. Don't fancy the front two very much, McElroy, Garcia, myself. Thought the two Chinese guys who have been in some good finishes this year, Ashun Wu and Hao Tung Lee, both look interesting, particularly Ashun Wu, who's got three top tens in his last five events. He looks interesting.
If he was a young English player, he wouldn't be that
wouldn't
price,
be 82
would he?
Would he?
No one there.
I might have a little saver on him, actually. And nearest was a guy that I've noticed you've also got on your
list,
Dave, Richard Sterney. Again, a decent price at 66s. What have you noted him?
Just running into a bit of form, really. Tied for ninth at the European Masters, followed by a 20th place finish in Portugal. He's tied for second at the Dunhill Links and tied for ninth in the British Masters. So he's got some good form on British soil recently as well. So I think he's got to be respected.
Yeah, we've got some very similar thinking there. They were the ones that were on my mind, yeah.
And just one more I want to mention as well, Lee Slattery, who's been ducked in the market a little bit at 66-1. But Slattery comes into this in very good form, fine form at the moment. He's finished inside the top 25 in the last two British Masters as well, so I thought Slattery would go well, but he's a bit under the market at 66-1.
He's had a child, I think, has he? Is that right? I think his wife just had a child. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was meant to pull out one
of the events.
I think we've talked about Lee Slattery's child more than anyone else on the podcast, haven't we?
Well, you looked a bit confused when I asked the question.
He'd completely come to the back of my mind.
He has,
definitely.
Elliott's nappy factor would come into play.
Isn't that why Tommy Fleetwood's not playing this week? He's about to become a dad.
Is he? Oh, very good.
I think that's why, because he was in the early betting, but that's why he's not there.
In fact, I won't say that. Well, better now. Paul Casey hadn't been to see his child after he's about 12 or 13 days old. I thought that was surprising.
Is that right?
Mm.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
An article. But then he was geared up for going on Sunday night, I think. But I was surprised. That's a long time, isn't it, these days? Just saying.
Anyone else you want to mention before we move on, Dave?
Eddie Pepperell's in fantastic form, isn't he? But that's reflected in his odds, 33-1. But an Englishman in banging form. And if nothing else, read his blog, because it's brilliant.
He is a fat Eddie Pepperell.
Yeah.
All right. He's good.
Most
good
articulate, funny golfer on the planet.
It's not a big list, that.
No, it's short. It's short. He's number one. Let's move on to the President's Cup then. The other big event this week, with the United States 2-7 to win it. The tie, which would be 15 points apiece, is 12-1, and the Internationals 11-1. And as it says on the website, the venue is Liberty National Golf Club. And for those that don't know, this is a biennial event that pitches the Americans against the rest of the world, which doesn't include Europe, and the Americans invariably end up winning. Since 1994, the US team have won 9 times, and the only team the Internationals tasted success was at Royal Melbourne, which will coincidentally host next time in 2019. And that win was way back in 1998. The Americans, yet again, strong favourites to win. And Nick Price, yet again, is captaining the Internationals for the third time in succession. which seems weird.
Third time lucky.
Yes, third time lucky, precisely. And Steve Stricker is captain for the US, using this as a dress rehearsal before he captains them in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits in the Ryder Cup in 2020. One assumes that will happen.
It's his own backyard, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, so that will happen, I think.
It's an incredibly poor record that the rest of the world or the international team have, isn't it? 9-1 win out of 11. Yeah, but having said that, last time they only got beaten by a point in South Korea, so it did cross my mind if that was 11-4, had been 7-2 or 4-1, that maybe there's a bit of value and a bit of interest in backing them, but they do seem to have a very poor record in it, don't they?
It's tough to make a case for them, isn't it? Even at 11-4, I think it's tough to make a case.
Yeah, but I don't know. Depends how much you think past events have an impact on this year's, you know.
Predicting the pairings is slightly less important than at the Ryder Cup, because there are 30 points up for grabs. So on Thursday and Friday, only two players from each team will sit. It used to be that all 12 played on Thursday and Friday as well, so you didn't have to go into too much thought about what the captains were going to do, which pairings they were going to send out there on the golf course on Thursday and Friday.
I have a feeling, though, that the American team, who will almost certainly win, by the way, for all that I've just said, that the internationals could be a decent price. A couple of their players have gone off the boil, haven't they, a little bit? I bet they're stronger in the Ryder Cup than this week as a team. That's my gut feeling.
Yep. What do you think, Dave? You're sitting there quietly?
I'm sitting there quietly because I'm about to say, I think the US... It sounds like I've put no thought into it, or I'm just being a bit... but I think they'll absolutely hammer them. The US will absolutely hammer them.
I think,
massive margin.
You know what? I agree with you, actually. I think they will.
I mean, I was hoping for a handicap, but we've not got that. But I'm happy to sort of look at some of those daft ones, like 20.5, 9.5 at 40s, 19.5, 10.5 at 25s. Come down maybe 18.5, 11.5, maybe back a little bit on each of those three. Mm-hmm. You just look at the US team. I know there's a couple have gone off the boil, but my goodness, how many of the internationals are really going to be able to cope? I mean, Katsuyama's gone off the boil. Adam Scott's not played for ages. It's just where are they winning the points there?
I think they'll
that's harsh, Dave. You've got Matsuyama, Day, Scott, Leishman, Grace, Oosthuizen, and Schwartzel.
Where are the pairings?
How many major winners are there? 1, 2, 3, 4. Siwoo Kim's won a players' event. Matsuyama's a top quality player.
Siwoo Kim's injured. It's like there's so many doubts.
America could win easily, and they do win it, don't they, all the time? But I think that's disrespectful to say that's a scratch team when you look at the first seven or eight players that they've got are all quality players, aren't they?
It's more a fact that some of the better players aren't on it at the minute. Has he had a baby as well?
I've not got an idea, actually.
I think he's taken time. Well, I think so. Matsuyama's gone off the boil.
A little bit, but he's not.
So the only sort of natural pairings there are the sort of the South Africans.
Well, I think they'll be hoping for Grace and Oosthuizen
to reprise, because
they were sensational a couple of years ago. Grace got all 5 points, didn't he? And they teamed up with, well, that South African team was formidable in the last President's
Cup. This is surely, if you look at the just top of this American team, Johnson, Spieth, Thomas, Koepka, Fowler,
very strong, yeah,
Berger.
Yeah.
Matt Kuchar will be solid. Mickelson always plays well better in the Presidents than he does the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, Patrick Reed, you'd expect to go well.
Patrick Reed, I mentioned him. As a whole, they don't feel the same pressure, and I think it frees them up a little bit. In the Ryder Cups, they've got
that weight of history.
If the US had had that big lead that they had over Europe at Medina, if that had been a President's Cup, I think they would have kicked on, not lost that, gone on to win by about 8 or 9. I just think they don't have the same kind of fear factor in this. I just think that the talent that they've got just it plays out more in this event. I mean, they've had some big wins. I think they've had a 21.5 to 10.5. Obviously, that was more points, but
yep.
A huge win at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Club in Virginia. It was a little while back, 2000.
17 years.
Yeah.
Look, they should.
Mickelson's still there.
they should win, to be fair, don't get me wrong, but I think it could be it's more competitive.
Yeah, you know, you can't really back them at the price. Well, that's not for me. That's not my sort of bet. But I think with that, where do you go with that if you think they're really going to win? You just put more on at a short price. Now, I'm willing to go to the kind
of the very fringes of the top
18 and a half, 11 and a half and down, basically. Would you throw a few quid at all those?
Yeah. Those ones, 18 and a half, 11 and a half, 19 and a half, 10 and a half, 20 and a half, 9 and a half.
And then 19, 11, 20, 10 as well, I suppose.
Yes, I'm just reading across. So what's that? What's the lowest price there? 18's up?
Yeah. You take all those.
Imagine then if they went 22-6, isn't it?
You'd have to take any other USA score as well as a saver at 6-1, yeah. I suppose.
I just say if it gets away from them early on... And the Americans build up head of steam.
I'll tell you something. There are European Ryder Cup teams that have not been as good as the international team who have beaten the US.
But then they haven't.
Now,
got,
you could argue that they don't.
They haven't got
bond.
The same chip on their shoulder.
They don't bond as well, do they?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, look at the top of their. Look, there's no doubt the US team is stronger. Anyone can see that. That's why they're 2-7. But there is some good players in that. There's a nucleus of good team in that international team. Now, I'm not sure they will bond. I think that bonding thing and really wanting to win for what is a fairly vague concept, the international rest of the world concept, doesn't help them. Whereas Europe have a more togetherness, more of a togetherness. But there are some good players in there. There are players who have contended in majors as well as won majors. They're right at the top end of the game. So, look, America are likely to win and win comfortably, but it's not impossible looking at the odds that the internationals might outperform those odds.
The only fly in the ointment I've got about this big shellacking that they're going to give them is the course. I think it's a bit... Didn't it once win, like, the worst course on tour?
It's hated, isn't it, this golf course? Because
it's got brilliant views. You can see the Statue of Liberty. It looks wonderful, but it's just a bit horrid.
Yeah, I think the playability...
I'll give you a one-eyed view of the American team. Justin Johnson and Jordan Spieth have had enough for the season. They're done, aren't they? Ricky Fowler, too, absolutely abysmal at the weekend. Kevin Chappell and Charlie Hoffman, ditto. Mickelson's too old and shouldn't be in the team. Matt Kuchar's got a losing record, I think, in the President's Cup. So they're not unbeatable. Kevin Kisner had a bit of a flat finish on Sunday, didn't he? Although he did play well in the tournament.
Yeah.
Just putting the other side of it.
Yeah.
You know, if someone was to give me £1 million and said, have a bet on the winner, I'd be picking the US.
Yeah.
But they're 11th.
Unlike you, I can see a scenario where it's closer than you
right.
think.
Just on the outrights, I think 11-4, I think it would be astonishing if they won and you only get 11-4 for something that would just.
To be sure, I think there is.
Whereas I think it's quite likely you could get a big American winner at a fancy price.
I think you can look at it both ways, can't you? Because you can look at it at the flip side thinking Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are going out there as good mates. You know, they're getting to...
they're almost though, Dave,
free-rolling.
I think Justin Thomas will be jaded at this.
Yeah,
they're young kids. They won't be tired. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are going to have an absolute riot. Do you think they'll be paired together?
I think they will. Yeah, I know Jordan Spieth has played with Patrick Reed in these events before, hasn't he? So it'll be interesting to see.
I think
Thomas and Spieth will go
Koepka
together.
Koepka and Berger both went to Florida State, so they're mates.
I think Thomas... and Spieth, their focus will have been on the FedEx Cup, not on this event. Now, if they're up for it and they play well, yeah, they're obviously great players. But there's a chance that they're kind of season's done. If I saw Justin Thomas, I'd be thinking of other things now.
I'd be thinking about spending some of that, that 10 million. Let's get some other bets on the supporting markets then. Mike, you've got a couple of bets.
I like Brooks Koepka in this event for top US score.
I agree, yeah.
He was second in the Ryder Cup point scoring for America when he got 3 points last time out. Hasn't played in this event before, but at 10-1 strikes me as decent each way value. Finished sixth at the Tour Championship at the weekend. Got bounced back to a bit of form after a little bit of a dull period. And he was 12th at the BMW before the sixth there. Now, I like Brooks Koepka. I think he's absolutely one of the top 10 players in the world. And I expect him to play probably... He'll be paired with someone decent, Berger's someone who's been mentioned. It could be even one of the top three in the bet in their kind of rankings could be with him. Koepka's, I think he's underrated at that price, given his indecent form.
10-1.
It's a strange leap, isn't it? From you think you'd just put him in with Fowler, wouldn't you, really? And you're getting a massive jump to him. Yeah, he hits it a mile. He won it.
He'll get America's only points in the event.
Brave Brooks Koepka.
He'll get walloped, but he'll get five.
I hope the internationals win by about 12 points.
He can replay my words. Koepka.
I'd be like Conor McGregor coming in.
10-1 Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, he won at Erin Hills on a sort of new course that people didn't like, so maybe that helps him here as well. I think they'll roll him out every game. He's just another young American, and
is he your pick, Dave, for the US?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be an official pick, but I totally agree with you. If you're,
shall I give my international one? Have you got one?
Please. No, please do.
I think Louis Oosthuizen is a good price at around about 7-1 for, well, not around about 7-1, exactly 7-1 for the top international point scorer. He'll need to score plenty to win this, obviously, but he did last time when he got 4.5 points with Brandon Grace contributing well with him at the last President's Cup. Got a winning record in the event, which for an international player is something of a miracle. And he's a good match play. He was second at the match play and got a couple of fifths in the WGC match play event. He's just very, very combative, competitor when he gets going. Didn't end his playoff challenge in very great form. He was 63rd in the BMW, but second in the PGA not long ago and 10th in the Northern Trust after that. Again, I reckon he will be with Grace. They play well together. He should get a few points.
Yeah, 7-1, Louis Oosthuizen. Anything else worthy of mention just before we sign off here, chaps?
Not really. I've not got a bet in that market. It'll be a 12-way tie on no points.
thank you, chaps. Let's recap the selections then. Dave, you've got a pick in the British Masters?
Yeah, so I'll go for Chris Wood, a point each way in the British Masters.
Yeah, that's 40-1. I'm going a point each way, Shane Lowry at 25-1, and half a point each way, Chris Paisley at 80-1. President's Cup?
Yeah, I'll have half a point, Brooks Koepka at 10s, half a point, Louis Oosthuizen at 7s.
Are you going each way on those two?
I was about to say I'll have a half a point each way double.
All right, okay.
And hope they don't play each other, which is one of the risks of that bet, has to be said.
A lot of people tend to wait until the pairings are announced and then do their each way doubles.
It'd be unlucky if they played each other in the first.
Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Half, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not a bad policy that, Dave, to be fair, yeah. But I think they're both very good each way prices, actually.
I did, jumping back to the British Masters, Mike did kind of pushed me over Graham Storm, half a point each way at 80s.
Okay.
I will add that. I don't want to come back here going, oh, I didn't put it up.
Like Dave, did you mean?
Yeah, that's what I just sulked on the start of the podcast.
Yeah. It's a great week's golf, by the way.
It's a good week.
The British Masters, I'll definitely be having, once I get a view of the course, definitely will be betting and running because it's a really good field.
I need to officially then put my...
Yeah, I suppose you do, don't you? In terms of the... point scoring.
There's no sort of elegant way to do it, really.
No, you basically, for listeners, you're basically going 8.5, 11.5 and downwards, aren't you?
8.5, 11.5.
Yes.
And, or upwards, however you look at it.
Yeah, upwards or downwards. But, yeah.
So how many score lines is there?
It's six score lines in the end. And then you've got to play the any other USA score as well, I suppose, just as a saver at 6-1.
Yeah. Quarter of a point on each.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. I suppose so. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the podcast. Make sure you download this via iTunes, and you can check us out at audioboom.com as well. And if you want to follow us all on Twitter, please do. The details, at Dave Tindall Golf, at M. Grenham, at D. Kellner. And thank you for tuning in to the Golf Podcast. Make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of the British Masters and the President's Cup.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.